How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
At a million other choices, we discuss some dark and troubling topics. If dark and troubling is not your thing, mine might not be the right podcast for you. If you like your dark topics discussed without pesky ads and are looking for some additional content from me, you can sign up for the exclusive feed. The link should be in the show notes, and if not, you can find me on redcircle.com. I research each case myself, and I do my best to use a wide variety of sources, preferably directly from court documents when they're available, to ensure that the information is as accurate as possible. But I cannot verify the truth of all reporting that is publicly available. So this episode has been produced for information and entertainment purposes only and should be taken as such. And with all my legal and publicity stuff out of the way, let's listen to what words I will inadvertently mispronounce today. Hello and welcome to season 5 of A Million Other Choices. I am so happy to be back. And if you're watching on YouTube, you didn't know I was gone. But this, I think, is the first time that the video and the podcast episode have been kind of synced, like coming out the same week. And what I'm really excited about this season is that I'm going to be doing things a little bit differently. I was almost exclusively Canadian cases. Some of them were pretty short because, as I don't know if you've been following the Delphi trial, but a lot of podcasters and even the media have been complaining about Delphi and how it's not televised and you can't get any information and stuff like that. Well, that is what it's like for all cases here in Canada. Nothing is ever televised and there's no, like not even audio available. They're not doing these things on Zoom. So, and if you're not accredited media, which podcasters never are, like even if you have a background in journalism, if you're a podcaster, you're not considered accredited media. You can't get any information. So I totally feel for what they're going through in Delphi. It does make doing Canadian cases very difficult. Where was I going with this? I don't know. I think I just went down a rabbit hole. Anyways, this season, all I really want to do is work on cases that I just find interesting for some reason or another. So there might be cases that you've heard before. There might be some that you've never heard of. It doesn't matter where they happened. I just want to talk about cases that I find really interesting. And today is definitely one that I find very, very interesting. The other thing that might change this season is I really want to, because I'm an independent podcaster, like I have a day job and I do this as a passion project. This is not how I make a living. I really want to put my focus on putting out really good quality content, quality over necessarily quantity. So I'm not sure if I'll be able to stick to the regular schedule. Every single week I have an episode, every second week I have an exclusive episode. And then of course there's videos coming out every Friday. I think that quality starts to take a little bit of a hit when you start trying to put out that much quantity of content. So I think I just really want to focus on just putting out really good episodes, however often they come out, so that at least when you're listening to me, you're listening to something that's of good quality that I can be really proud of. Anyways, brings me to today's case, which is one that I definitely find very interesting. So let's get started. This is the murder of Dominic Russo and Davian Flanagan.
You were relentless. You stabbed, you stabbed, you stabbed, you stabbed, you stabbed until he was dead.
It is unimaginable the pain that this child probably endured.
This is a choice you made. Okay? The choice you made to kill your mother. The choice you made to come up with these bizarre stories that make zero sense.
The conduct was horrendous, inhumane, and nothing short of evil.
If you see it, you smell it, you know it's happening, you report it. And this ends in this courtroom. That'll be all.
And I know the answer to the question that everyone keeps asking. I know why you did this. You did this simply because you were not in a cage.
But was she dead on the day I arrived? Or?
She was dead when you killed her.
I agree with the family. I hope you die in prison as well.
On the night of July 30th, 2022, 19-year-old Paul Burlinghouse decided to have kind of a sleepover at his place with some friends and have what he calls like a chill hangout. A few of his friends arrived around 11 p.m. They were all classmates of his Strongsville, Ohio, which is near Cleveland, Strongsville's high school's graduating class. They were celebrating the end of their school year. They were not quite ready to pack up and leave town for their respective universities and colleges yet. Tonight was just time to let off some steam and just have a good time. So some weed was smoked, but no alcohol was consumed. Now, weed makes Paul a little bit sleepy, so he went to bed just after midnight, which turned July 30th into July 31st. And he left his guests to just kind of hang out. He wasn't really concerned about it being a wall crawler or anyone getting too crazy. And he woke up around 3 and saw his friend Mackenzie asleep on the couch. Now, he didn't see her boyfriend Dominic Rousseau, but as Mackenzie and Dominic were always together, he figured he was just in the bathroom or something. His other friend Davian Flanagan was watching TV with one of his other friends, so he went back to bed. And sometime after that, around 5 a.m., Mackenzie Shirilla, her boyfriend Dominic Rousseau, and running back for the Strongsville Mustangs, Davian Flanagan, were all ready to go home. Davian had a reason to get home. He had a full-time job. He was saving his pennies to go to the All-State Hairstyling and Barber College in Cleveland. Despite being an athlete in the school on football, track, basketball, baseball, and the swimming teams, Davian wasn't relying on a scholarship to get him through school. There weren't a lot of barber colleges that give out football scholarships, and he had his eye on the prize. His knee had been injured in a game anyways, so he didn't really want to rely on his athletic abilities because they are often fleeting careers. So getting home to his parents, Jamie and Scott's house, to get in some much-needed sleep was definitely an order. Davian and his two sisters had spent years in foster care being neglected by his drug-addicted parents, so when Jamie and Scott took him in and adopted all of them, he was going to do whatever he had to do to make them very proud of him. Dominic's parents, Christine and Frank, also expected him home. Dominic was one of 8 siblings, Angelo, Christopher, Christine, Nicole, Michael, and Frank. So their house was always pretty hectic and a bit chaotic, but it had made him a very outgoing and personable to anyone around him. Tall, dark, and with a head full of wild black curls topping his head, he made for a handsome young man who was popular and very charismatic, and he had plans to start his own clothing line. Mackenzie and Dominic had been together the entire 3 years of high school. She was the designated driver that night. Now, Mackenzie was in a lot of ways a very typical teenager. Mackenzie had moved into Dominic's family's home, so the couple were living together as a couple, but it was with this very large family. So she had become part of the family, and Dominic and her were together like all the time anyways. So she had just become kind of a fixture in their lives over the last 3 years. Dominic's mom, Christine, actually owned two houses side by side. And so Christine lived in one of the houses with two of Dominic's younger siblings, and then Dominic and Mackenzie had taken over the other one. So Mackenzie piled everyone into her black Toyota Camry and drove for home, taking a route that she had driven before. She was familiar with it. Surveillance footage shows Mackenzie driving south on Alameda Drive and then taking the corner left onto Progress Drive. She takes the corner slowly, carefully, as you would expect, but almost as soon as she had turned the corner, the car is then shown on a different camera's angle, now traveling at over 100 miles per hour without making any attempts to slow down or avoid a collision with the brick wall of the Plitco building, which is a pipe repair business. The mangled car was spotted by someone going by, but not until 45 minutes later. It was early in the morning on a Sunday on an industrial street where no one was really working that early. So it was about 6:15 when first responders came on the scene and found Dominic and Davian beyond any help, which they could tell by the blood that was trickling from their ears.
Radio. This car's split in two. Now!
29.
This is not a fresh accident either. She's been here for a while. Brady, we got at least two occupants in here. No one's moving. Oh my God. Oh my God. Times three, guys. Radio, three occupants. Who can hear my voice? Drivers and radio, the driver is breathing unconscious.
I copy.
Radio, they're gonna need full extraction on all three. Come here. Call him the plate. Let him call it in. Holy shit, man.
Not good, not good. Let me see your knife. Let's cut this thing out.
This is bad, guys. She's alive. We got to get her out
here,
somehow.
Reach up and unlock the door.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It's I ain't gonna budge. It's on the frame. Let's go around and see if we can get. Keep cutting. Doing good. Oh my God. Sarge, we're good to try to get her out? Oh, dude, I don't know if we can.
No, just until the dog gets there.
Oh my God.
Start looking for a wall.
She's breathing. Her head's wedged. Let's see if we can get some IDs, guys.
45 on.
That was the other unit.
Oh yeah, they're all pretty young. Oh my God.
Can you find a younger female of that residence?
I don't feel anything.
She's breathing. I saw her stomach. Her stomach's moving.
Oh, yeah.
Look.
Yeah.
We got two that are gone.
Yeah.
Should we?
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
There was an incident that we believe Dominic may be involved.
What?
When was the last time you saw him?
Last night.
Last night?
Yeah, everybody was home. Why?
Okay.
What happened?
Can you want to come out here?
Yeah.
Or do you want us to come inside? It's up to you.
Yeah, no, but let me put out my cigarette. Hold on.
Okay.
So if I don't get that cat fat, he climbs up on my counter.
Yeah.
So,
what time did you talk to him? Or did you actually see him?
Yeah, I was making buffalo chicken dip. I'd have to see. One of his friends fixed this car. I've only seen him a couple times over to fix. He's got like a classic car that the kid was fixing on.
Okay. White kid, black kid, do you know?
Yeah, like a mix kind of.
Okay.
I don't think he's real. I mean.
Okay. So he was hanging out with his girlfriend and...
Well, I don't know if they were really hanging out. The kids come over like twice to work on the car. That's usually what he's come over for. And then he's
Okay. All right. Well, just so you know, obviously, Officer Laraconda, this is Father Joe.
Okay, Father Joe. Right. Where are you?
Oh, well, St. Joe's in Strongsville.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm also the chaplain for the police and fire department.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So, unfortunately... there was an accident, okay, involving Mackenzie, Davion, and who we believe is Dominic, is the third person.
An accident?
A car accident.
What?
Okay.
Where?
Last night.
Wait.
Just relax. Just hold on. Hold on. Just put stay seated. Just stay seated. Just hold on. Hold on. Just listen.
Yes. Take a deep breath.
Christine, look at me. Take a deep breath.
Yeah, just take a deep breath.
Okay. Right now, all we know is that the driver, who is Mackenzie, is at Metro.
Right.
Okay.
Just
stay seated, please.
Take your time.
Please, just relax. Take a deep breath.
That's right.
A deep breath.
That's okay. You're good. Take your time.
Take a deep breath. Okay. Is anybody else home here with you now?
My Christopher, but he's sleeping. Angela's in Florida. Wait, where's Mackenzie's mom?
Okay. They're down at Metro right now.
Okay.
The other two passengers, like I said, was Davion and who we believe is Dominic, okay?
Okay.
From what Mackenzie told us.
Okay.
Okay. Both Davion and Dominic are deceased.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Chris is going to come outside.
That's
Christine,
okay.
Christine.
Yes, just take a deep breath. It's okay.
Oh, my God.
Christine, what did she do?
It would be best.
Oh, my God.
Is there somebody else we can call for you?
Oh, my God.
Is there somebody we can call for you?
Okay, wait.
We're learning more about the two young men killed in a horrific crash yesterday morning.
Both men were under the age of 21 and well-loved by their classmates and family members. News 5's DeLon Dillard was at a vigil honoring the two crash victims and shares how they are being remembered.
And that deadly crash happened at this intersection early Sunday morning. And just over 24 hours later, you can see here a large amount of classmates, teammates, loved ones, family members gathering here to mourn the lives of two young men gone too soon.
These kids are part of my heart. You lose one and it hurts. It's It hurts till you cry.
But this Strongsville community is devastated. It lost two young men, 19-year-old Davion Flanagan and 20-year-old Dominic Russo. Dominic's family still processing this. He was the youngest of seven.
His name was Dominic, so we called him Dominucci or Nucci. So he was always the one that didn't make a smile. He always had the biggest smile on his face.
Strongsville police say a black Toyota Camry crashed at this intersection around 6:15 Sunday morning. The cause of that crash is unclear, but investigators say Flanagan and Russo were inside the car and did not make it out alive. And a 17-year-old girl also in the vehicle is in critical condition.
Davion just graduated from high school, wanted to have a career in cutting hair, become a barber. So someone that young at 19, 20 years old, 17 years old, whatever it is, it's heart-wrenching because they have a whole life ahead of them.
Mackenzie did wake up fairly soon after the accident, but she didn't remember anything about that night. Her blood had been taken that night, and they did find a little bit of THC in her system, but not near the levels that would explain her driving into a building at 100 miles per hour. Now, her mom said she had been diagnosed with a postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, or POTS, which is a disorder that causes her to pass out if her sodium levels get too low. But it didn't really explain that either, because when they pulled the black box from the car, it showed that everything was functioning okay with the car, but the accelerator had been pushed to the floor at the time. And generally when you pass out, you go limp, but you can't really put that much pressure on the accelerator to that degree. So they couldn't find any evidence that something had rolled or fallen onto the accelerator. And by looking at the footage, it didn't appear that there would have been any reason for her to mistake the accelerator for the brake. So it was just kind of a bizarre accident that had taken out Davion and Dominic, two really young and hopeful kids, and almost killed Mackenzie as well. She was in a wheelchair after that, and she suffered some pretty bad injuries, including multiple surgeries. And in fact, she was not breathing when they pulled her out of the wreckage. Now, there was no evidence in any way that she was in any way suicidal, but it was just bizarre. The car was examined by Mark Sargent, who was a fire and explosion consultant and looks at mechanical defect analysis on automobiles. And he inspected the car, and I'm just going to read from what he found here. There had been a recall for the vehicle, but it was confirmed that the issue had been adequately repaired by a Toyota on this particular vehicle. Sargent thoroughly examined the vehicle, including but not limited to the accelerator pedal, throttle mechanics, and brakes. He found no indication of any pre-crash mechanical or electrical failure that may have caused a loss of accelerator control, a loss of braking, or loss in the ability to steer the vehicle. Sargent noted that the vehicle components were particularly buckled over. The accelerator pedal, combined with information that a slipper was found trapped underneath the rolled over component, caused him to conclude that the driver's foot was on the accelerator when the crash occurred. And because of the location of the slipper on the pedal, the slipper could not have been caught in such a way that it caused unintended acceleration prior to the crash. Sargent testified that he did not see any indication that the brakes had been applied for a long period of time in an attempt to stop the vehicle before the crash. The brakes appeared functional. The data also showed that the gear shift was shifted back and forth between drive, sequential, and neutral in the 4.7 seconds before the crash. The gear shift has to be manually moved. So that's all very odd. Now, Mackenzie was still in the hospital when Dominic's memorial service was held, but she posted on his tribute page a flood of pictures of the couple with captions like, "I love you, my Nug. I will never stop thinking about you. I miss you, Nug. I still feel like you're just going to walk in the door any second. I miss your laugh and perfect smile. I feel your energy around me every day. I just wish it was physical." She came back to the page a few days later and added, "God, you are the last person to deserve this. You had such a perfect life ahead of you. I wish I told you this all more. Please wait for me." Including one tagged Strongsville Prom 2022. You are the love of my life. You will always be with me, and I will always think about you. And then another one on the same day reads, I love you, Dom. You are my soulmate. I will never forget all the memories we made together. You made me the girl I am today. And you were just an amazing, bright soul. And she texted Dominic's mom saying, I remember turning onto the street and then my vision fades to black. It really kills me not being able to remember anything. She also texted Dom's brother. Would you be able to go into Dom's room and grab some photos from his desk of him and me so that I could put them into his casket so he can be with me forever? I know you probably think it's all my fault. I wish that he was here too. This should have never happened. I really do feel bad. It's killing me. But slowly a picture started to emerge that helped investigators clarify what could have possibly happened that early morning that would turn Mackenzie from a safe and responsible driver, like just turning the corner on Alameda, to this speeding death train that headed right into a building just seconds after that corner. Like, she literally had her signal light on and everything. She's taking this corner just like an absolutely normal person. And then it's just like speeding into this wall. Now, I'm not sure who it was, but someone let the police know that there was a post on Instagram of Mackenzie in the hospital, which is really, really strange to me. I mean, people take pictures of themselves in the hospital. That's not the part that's strange. But it was a bit strange that she kind of like posed for the picture. And now even stranger was the comments below from the picture from this modeling agency called Vitali. So Vitali posts on her under the picture, we love this look, which to me is such a strange statement. Like, was she like, she's in a hospital gown and she's like beaten up from this accident and they're like, we love this look. Can we use this post on our website and emails? We'll make sure you're credited. Reply to this comment with hashtag community if so. Now, Natalie, who's her mom, commented back, thank you for this amazing opportunity. 3! Hello, this is her mother. She would love if you would use it. She's actually been trying to contact you guys for PR email! It was a tragic accident and she did not purposely mean to end any of her close friend's life. That is just as painful as it is for her, as it is for everyone else, and maybe even a little bit more painful. Heart emoji. And then a couple of hours after that, Mackenzie herself posts, thank you for the comment. I would love to work with you guys. I've been emailing you guys a lot. 2! Such a great opportunity. Thank you. And that's a little bit strange. Now, it's actually not strange coming from Mackenzie. I mean, when talking to her, some of her classmates from school, Mackenzie was kind of that girl, a little bit of a bully. She liked herself a lot. She's always walking around in her little pink Prada slippers, posing for Instagram photos and kind of sexually suggestive poses, trolling kids that were suffering with depression to telling them to kill themselves. She just wasn't really a nice young lady. And people knew that about her. So posting about herself and kind of getting over things like this really quickly wasn't exactly surprising or unexpected coming from her. She was kind of known around town as an entitled brat, basically. But a murderer, that seemed like a little bit of a stretch. Now, there was enough THC in her system right after the crash that they could have charged her with vehicular manslaughter for being over the limit. But there was something about Mackenzie that told investigators to just kind of hold off a little bit, to do a little bit more digging and see if something kind of comes up on her. I mean, the footage of the car being driven like just so normally and then seconds later, like just a bat out of hell, had chilled them to the bone, and they started to wonder if Mackenzie, like all maybe 100 pounds of her petite layered in pink designer sportswear, could have driven her car with 2 passengers in it to their deaths on purpose. And a couple of things did come up. DMV records showed that Mackenzie had reapplied for a temporary driver's license on October 21st, which is strange in itself because after an accident, like, I don't even know if I think if I hit a squirrel, I would be like, I don't know if I want to drive anymore. But she had no problem reapplying for a temporary driver's license. Like, about a month or so later. She checked off the box that she did not have any condition that results in episodic impairment of consciousness or loss of muscular control, nor did she have any physical or mental condition that prevents her from exercising reasonable and ordinary control of a motor vehicle. But I thought that her mom was worried about this tachycardia thing that had maybe caused the accident. And then there was Adam McQuaid, who's part of this crash reconstruction team with the Brooklyn police. And he looked over the footage and examined the data from the black box on the car. And his analysis, and again, I'm just going to read this from the documents. And I have to apologize for my voice. I'm actually just kind of still getting over a cold. So if I sound a little bit off, that's why. McQuaid concluded that the vehicle's accelerator pedal was fully depressed 4.6 seconds before the crash. The engine throttle was also at 100% until 1.6 seconds before the crash, when the vehicle went airborne as it went over the curb. Within 4.5 seconds of the start of the crash, the vehicle registered a small right turn with a small left turn followed by a significant right-hand turn that caused the data recorder to note a rollover event, meaning that there was enough lateral force of the car that the data recorder thought it was turning over. He explained that the car was traveling very fast and that there was a hard yank of the steering wheel, turning the wheels 142 degrees. And the car registered a small change in velocity as it hit the curb and then a large change in velocity as the vehicle hit the wall. The vehicle hit the wall 1.1 seconds after the hard steering event. At no point in the 4.6 seconds before the crash was the brake pressed. So maybe it was intentional. And then on July 17th, so just under 2 weeks before the accident, Christopher Martin, who's a friend of Christine's, Dominic's mom, was sitting around when Christine had gotten a phone call from Dominic where he sounded really upset and was asking if she could come and get him. Christine didn't like how he sounded and asked Chris to go and get him because it sounded like he was in a bad situation. Chris called Dom back and asked for his exact location and found him in Mackenzie's car on Interstate 71. Now, Mackenzie was driving and Chris was still on the phone with Dom at the time, and he could hear Mackenzie in the background yelling, "I'm going to wreck this car right now." Now, somehow Dom managed to get Mackenzie to slow the car down and pull over on the side of the road, at which point Chris could see Mackenzie swinging her hands at him. Dominic got out of the passenger side and made a beeline for Chris's car. Now, Chris managed to get him home, but Mackenzie soon followed and started banging on the door and threatening that she was going to key his car if he didn't come and open the door. Now, Dominic had the forethought to document it and had used his friend's phone to record her. She's repeatedly banging and yelling threats at him, starting to count down and say, "You're going to come open this door right now, or there's going to be a serious fucking problem."
Like before, you lied and said you would never lock me out of the house again. That is why we got back together last time we broke up. But I forgot.
You broke up with me earlier.
Because you were a little fucking weak bitch.
You broke up with me earlier.
This is your last chance to open the door, or you are not coming out of this house all night, because I will not leave.
Mackenzie, look, let me go to dinner.
No, you can let me go to dinner, and then
I can let you come over later.
No, you're not, because I'm coming to dinner, too.
Why? You should have told me you wanted to come.
You fucking retard. She already put me on the reservation, so fucking open the door, you dumbass. Let's just go next door, then. No, we're not going next door.
No, I'm not letting you in the house.
We need to talk first, no? Because you just, like, betrayed me.
All right, we can talk outside. Good. Cut it out. Don't try to come in.
Dom, if you do not open, you think I'm joking,
I'm dead ass. What are you dead ass about?
You know exactly what I mean. You're gonna come open this door right now, or there's gonna be a serious fucking problem.
Kenzie, I really don't think I can. Why can't we just do this shit? Why can't we just
do
this
later? We're not doing it later because I'm coming to dinner. You have 5 seconds to open the door.
You want to come to dinner with us? Is that what you're saying?
Open the door right now.
You can come to dinner with us if you want.
Open the door.
Kenzie, if you want, you can come to dinner with us.
Tom, if you don't open the door, I'm keying your car. All right, is the door unlocked? I'm about to test it.
No, Kenzie, it's not unlocked. So why are you acting like this?
Tom, I'm going to give you one last second, or I'm going to have to key your car.
Why? Why? Why would you? Why would that ever be like an option?
Because we're broken up if you don't let me in the house. I'm breaking up. I will break up with you. I'm going to break up with you if you do not open this fucking door.
You literally took all your shit and left. I thought like you didn't want to be here.
Okay, I'm gonna break into your house then.
Dude, what the actual fuck?
Well, I just broke your fucking key thing, so that sucks.
What key thing? Come
yeah,
in my
I
house.
Will break shit. I will break shit. Do I have to, like, call the police?
Why? Why would you call the police?
Do I have to call the police? Are you not gonna let me into my house?
This is not your house. I'm calling my mom. I'm calling my mom.
No, you're not. No,
yes,
you're
I am.
Not.
I'm calling my mom. You're not doing this.
And we're gonna break up.
This
we're
is
done.
My house. You can't.
Then
don't.
We are done. If you do not let me in the house that I sleep in every night, we are done.
Now, he ultimately stopped recording, called his mom to get some help, and mom and the siblings that had lived at the home with Dominic and Mackenzie all said that this incident was really nothing new. Mackenzie often behaved like that, and they were really well known to fight all with at that level all the time. There was lots of drama, and then they'd get back together like none of it had ever happened. And data from Mackenzie's phone showed that she had kind of mapped out the route that she had been on July 28th, like just a couple of days before the accident. That, like, this was really, really chilling. It wasn't a route that she normally took. So why would she have done that? They thought that maybe it was to determine the exact right moment to hit the gas and the right time of day when nobody would be around. I mean, that seemed cold, even for Mackenzie. But Dominic and Davian's family weren't just starting to wonder. Like, they were flat out convinced by this point. Dominic had been the victim of domestic violence, and Davian had been seen as nothing more than collateral damage. And the fact that Mackenzie was a woman and Dominic the victim did not change the fact that the relationship had been toxic. Mackenzie had made threats of violence against Dominic all the time. And of course, the fact that afterwards she showed so little regard or remorse for the accident at all. Investigators agreed and arrested Mackenzie just days after Halloween when she was dressed like a sexy corpse and posted it on TikTok, like, because she's classy like that.
I'm Detective Hazu. I'm the one who's been investigating the crash. You're under arrest for aggravated murder times two. Okay. Nobody's going to ask you any questions. Nobody's going to bother you. Can I have your key, please?
Could you please be careful taking this one off
it.
So it doesn't break the bracelet, please?
You got it. You got it.
Do you want my keys?
No.
Thank you.
You got it.
They also talked with one of Mackenzie's ex-boyfriends.
We have approximately 10 questions that we wanted to ask you. First thing is, how long have you known Mackenzie?
Probably when I moved to Strongsville, so ninth grade. I came here probably when I was 16. I came from Brook Park.
So how old are you now?
18. Actually, I was probably 15 when I came here.
15?
Yeah.
And so how long were you guys in a relationship, you and her?
Well, we were all friends in a friend group at first, and Joey dated her first before I came to Strongsville, and then I ended up dating her for a little bit, like probably over the summer. I was only dating her for probably like a month and a half or like 2 months, and then she was cheating on us basically, but it wasn't like anything official, so it wasn't a hard feeling type of whatever happened. I just kind of was like, after me and Dom found out about that, we had no problems with each other and nothing, but it was kind of like, why didn't you tell Dom? And Dom would ask her, like, are you beating him on and stuff like that? And she would just lie to him. And then that's basically it. Like, they were on and off, and I kept on talking to her still while they were on and off because we were all still in the friend group and stuff. So, and then we kind of just like stopped being intimate, you know what I'm saying? And we're just friends. Around when she turned 16, I think, because I was at her birthday dinner with her family and stuff like that. And then after that, she had a party, like Dom, me, AJ, Joey, Amory, Megan, Natalie, and Kenzie. And that was probably like when we stopped being intimate, was around her birthday and after we went to Kalahari, and then it was just her and Dom after that.
Okay. Can you explain what you mean by intimate?
Like kissing or hugging or just like anything that like would happen in a relationship, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Did you ever, were you physically, sexually?
No, we never had sex, but we would make out. That was
okay. Who's Joey?
Joey Probes. He dated her. He's like one of my best friends, but he dated her, I know, before I came to Strongsville for a little bit. I don't know.
Okay.
She was younger than 15.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said month and a half to 2 months over summer. Which summer? This past summer?
Oh, no. It was like freshman summer.
So describe the relationship. What was it? What was she like as your girlfriend?
I mean, like, she's kind of just like how you would explain any girls, really, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're all over the place in some ways, and, like, they don't know what they want. And she would say stuff like towards the crazy side. I remember conversations with her when she couldn't, like, decide what she wanted, like, between me and Dom, kind of. She would be like, she's like, oh, I love Dom so much, this and that, but, like, he's mad at me for all of this, and I'm just like, well, yeah, like, why wouldn't he be like me to like just go stay with Tom? Because I'm not gonna be with you no more after this. Like, I'm cool with just keeping the friend group as friends because I don't want to mess up the friend group. I was like, I don't got no problems with you or anything like that. We can all still be friends. You need to go talk to Dom about like your personal issues and stuff because that's your relationship with him. Like, and she would tell me like how she thinks you all obviously smoke weed, but she would say stuff like, I don't even get high anymore, stuff like that. Like, she was crazy. Like, our group chat, there was some days like we would all be getting ready for school, and she would be sitting there spam calling the group chat to the point where like we can't pick it up to even like answer it because she's just calling and declining and calling and declining. And then we finally do pick it up, and it was something as small as I can't figure out what I need to wear to school. It's like all of us, like it was everyone that went to Kalahari that was in that group chat. So it's like, are you blowing us all up just over something as little as you can't figure out what you're trying to wear at school? Like, she would be like, just
she like mentally just not all there.
I mean, yeah, I don't think she's just mentally all there. Like, I personally feel like she was trying to get in that crash, and she failed on doing so, is what I feel like. And I feel like she had no regard for Davion, and I feel like they got in an argument, her and Dom, and she threatened to kill him.
Had she ever threatened that before?
She hasn't ever threatened to hurt anyone, but she's threatened probably like, she hasn't like physically said like, I'm gonna, but she's like, you know what I'm saying, like made it to the point
where alluded to it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, like where she's just like, I hate life, like shit like that, and like, but we were all obviously like there and still trying to be friends with her and stuff like that. But our friend group probably fell out with Kenzie around like after 10th grade, and that's kind of when like all of us stopped being friends with just her. We were all cool with Dom still, just because she's so like crazy. She'll blow everyone's phone up. She'll just, she's all over the place with everything. And then she's just in general, like kind of a shady person. She's like a snake. Like, she'll go and talk shit to everyone about everyone. And then like, you know what I'm saying? She'll go talk shit about me to someone else. And then she'll go talk shit about that person to me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But she would do it with everyone through multiple friend groups because of the type of person she was. Like, she doesn't have no regard for other people.
Did you guys ever fight when you were dating?
No. I mean, like...
Like, argue?
Nah, not for real.
Nothing?
Nah, because I didn't really, like, became like that. Like, I don't even think that it got to a point with me and her like that. But, like, I've said things about her since. Like, maybe she's heard about it, but, like I said again, I don't have no actual problems with her. I wouldn't go up to her and be like fuck you, like she like that. Because even after 10th grade, I was dating this girl Haley, and we all went to Cedar Point, me, Dom, Kenzie, and Haley. You know what I'm saying? I never had a problem with Dom or Kenzie after, even after all of that stuff, because we went to Cedar Point with us four probably in like 11th grade.
Gosh.
And I remember Cedar Point, and we were all about to get on the ride, and Dom was on a phone call, and she couldn't just wait for him to get off the phone call. And she was like, get on this ride now, or like, she was sitting there getting, she's like, I can't right now. And I was like, do you want us to just wait for him to get off the phone? She's like, no, you guys can just go. And then we go on the ride and we come back. And she like kicked Dom away from us to where it was just me, Haley, and Kenzie. And she was just like, I'm about to break up with him and just leave him. She was just saying stuff like that. And then like I texted Dom and I'm like, yo, you trying to go on a couple rides or something like that? Like, where you at? I'll come link up with you and Nick and just do whatever they're trying to do. Like, so because she was sitting there, just, she's fully threatened and was disrespectful to Dom in my eyes.
Why did Dom put up with this? Do you know?
I've personally been told that she did voodoo on him. I mean, I personally don't believe that, but she has told people that she's put a spell on him so that he couldn't break up with her. She would tell people that she had like grabbed a piece of his hair and that she had a doll in her room for Dom. And that she had literally put a spell on him. But she would tell everyone. And, like, she truly believed in that kind of stuff. And she also uses the pendulum, I know, too, to try to get answers. She tries to use it now to talk to Dom. Because I'm friends with, I'm related to Dom by religion and law. He's my, like, God step, God cousin-in-law. So, like,
God cousin-in-law.
Yeah, my.
I heard that.
I've never heard of that.
I recently heard okay.
Yeah, because my godmother, Markella, and then Markella is about to marry Johnny, which is one of someone in Dom's family. So gotcha. That would have made him my cousin. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. In talking to your mom, she mentioned that there were threats that Mackenzie made towards you when you guys were dating.
Like I honestly don't know why my mom ended up coming to the police station, because she's also like, I mean I understand why, because she's related to Domino, but like, no, like I would have rather just came to you guys myself and told mm-hmm. my story instead of her trying to get whatever she got out of it, because when I talked to her it was the day that they died. So like,
yeah, but did you mention anything to her about
she is I've mentioned that she's threatened Dom, but not
Have you ever heard Mackenzie threaten Dom?
Yeah, I mean, at the, like I said, like at Cedar Point, she was threatening him to like leave him there and stuff like that. And then like going back to it, we were in this candy shop and this was after they'd gotten over arguing and everything like that. She was like, either buy me something or shut the fuck up. No one's trying to listen to you. She just basically like used them to forge money almost. And on her TikTok and stuff, Dom would always buy her designer and she would always post on her TikTok as if she bought the designer. And she would be like calling out other people, trying to call them broke with her stuff and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, she's just kind of like all over.
Did she have money?
I don't. She didn't have no job. I mean, she worked with my stepsister at Dunkin' Donuts for a little bit. That's all I know. And then she like, my stepsister told me that she was just rude to everyone. Like all of the, like she just didn't care. Like she was just rude to people. She didn't work there no more then.
So the threats to Dom, were any of them threats other than I'm gonna dump you? Like, were there ever threats, like threats of harm?
She's probably, I don't know. I think she's only threatened to harm herself. I don't really think she said that she was gonna kill him or anything like that. That's why I think she was trying to kill herself when she crashed. Like, and I think that she didn't have no regard for Davion in the backseat. And she was in an argument with Dom, so it was just a win-win for her.
How do you know she was in an argument with Dom?
I don't know that. That's just what I think.
Okay.
Because the Life 360 said they were going. I mean, to go down that road, 120, like, I feel like you got to be just, like, mad or something. Because, like, what are you doing? Like,
so, let's go on. Let me ask you about this. Her driving. You know.
Reckless for sure. My girlfriend would drive with her. She's, like, in general. So, like, that obviously is a part of it, but to be going down a progress 100 is also not just reckless driving. Like, there's got to be something going on. It's not just a fun factor. Like, because Davion and Dom aren't that stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like, they would have said something, I feel like.
When you rode with her, did you ever see her get in a road rage incident? Did you ever?
Yeah, she's definitely just a, not like a continuous road rage, but it's like, come on, like, you're going, like, you know.
Just screaming at people.
Yeah, right. Like,
so how often did you, how were you dated? Were you ever in the car with her?
I was only in the car with her a couple of times, really, and her driving to Cedar Point being one of them.
Oh, how was that?
Yeah, that was the time where she was just like aggravated and stuff, like just from the, like on the way home, for example, she's obviously agitated from the argument with her and Dom and stuff like that. And it's just kind of like, oh, chill out, Kenzie, like just drive. Like,
Like, is she just a fast driver, or is she, like, not a good driver? Not a good driver?
Okay. I just feel like she's careless in general with everything.
When you were with her and hung out with her, did you ever know her to make fun of people, be mean to people?
Everyone can say that. Everyone can vouch for that. Like, she is a bully. Like, that's... I know that when Davion and Dime died for someone... stuff like that. She was saying, like, I'm trying to get people to hurt her and stuff like that. She was instantly coming out to get me, and I'm just like, bro, like, leave me alone. Like I'm not trying to deal with you and what's going on right now. Like, I'm literally, like, that was part of the reasons why I kind of didn't want to come in here and talk about her, is because I don't want to be dealing with extra stuff with her. I talked to police, and she's out there trying to make more rumors. Like, Dom obviously was cool with me because Dom was trying to help me buy my car and stuff like that. Like, the car that I have now, Dom helped me find. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just makes no sense to say Dom wasn't cool with me.
Right, right.
And then I know that she did the pendulum, which is to talk to Dom, like, after he's dead. She did the pendulum with Anthony and Abby.
And so what came about?
Anthony, he asked if Dom really liked me. He said that her jaw dropped, and Abby also told me the same thing, that Kenzie liked
me. Who's Abby and who's...
Abby is Dom's cousin, and Anthony is dating Abby, what he does. I think he's dating her again now. Gotcha.
So when they did the pendulum thing... your understanding. Did anybody ask what caused the accident?
I mean, I don't want anyone in the family to get mad at me or what they have personally told me, because I know that people in his family believe in the pendulum, so I don't want to offend anything.
Right. No, we know that they do. I know his dad does.
Yeah, and his dad said that he did the pendulum, and that he says that Dom doesn't want anything to happen to her, and he wants, and he said that Dom forgives her, and that he also said, Dom said that she's going to be okay, that nothing's going to happen to her. Like, she's going to be fine and get out of this, basically, is what they said at the pendulum. But I think Uncle Frank is kind of, which is Dom's dad, I just refer to him as Uncle Frank. I think he's kind of just like, because when I talked to him because Kenzie was saying that I went and vandalized the memorial, which is not true at all. Like, I would never, like, why would I go and vandalize the memorial? She kept on making tons of stuff up about me. I don't know why. Like, I really don't. And it kind of just hurt me more. Like, because, like, why? Like, I don't know if it's because I dated her before. I don't know what it is. Like, but I talked to Uncle Frank, and he said that he was going to talk to Kenzie and make sure everything stops. And he was just like, everyone talking shit about each other is just going to keep things going and keep people mad at each other. And I'm just like, yeah, you're right. Like, I haven't talked to anybody about anything. Like, I've just been trying to handle this on my own, like, because I was really closer to Davion than I was Dom. I was just getting close with Dom again. But
so, since her arrest, what's been being said?
Nothing really. I ever since I talked to Uncle Frank, I haven't heard him say anything about me, really, which was low-key, like, the first month it happened, really. Like, that's after I talked to Uncle Frank, everything that she said about me stopped, kind of. So, which that made me, like,
you ever talk to Dominic's mom?
No, I haven't talked to Dominic's mom. Like, she feels basically the opposite of how he feels. But when I talked to Uncle Frank, he was telling me, like, he feels cheated in a way, too, because every time he would go to hang out with Dom, he was busy doing something with Kenzie, which was also the case for me. Every time I ask him to hang out, I don't think he wanted to hang out because he didn't want to hang out with me and Kenzie, because I think he knew, like, he got the idea that Kenzie didn't really like me. I think he played an act as in not liking me when he was around Kenzie, because I don't know why Kenzie would go around and actually believe that he didn't like me, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because he really obviously knew.
So, what are you... have you witnessed or heard from your friends or your girlfriend? You mentioned your girlfriend about Mackenzie driving.
Yeah, my girlfriend just said that she's a bad driver, really. Just over, like...
any examples?
I remember one instance that, because I'm pretty sure Rosie Brown, her dad's a cop, and this was after Kenzie had crashed. She was saying something about, like, she was basically making fun of Rosie going the speed limit. Like, after she had crashed, and it's like, what are you saying, bro? Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm trying to remember exactly what she said, but she was just saying something like, oh, you're going 35 or like on Pearl, basically. Like, and it's like, bro, what do you mean? Only like, that's the speed limit. There's a speed limit for a reason. Like, if you was going the speed limit, that would have never happened. Like, that wouldn't have been as bad as the crash as it was if you did crash at 35. Like, everybody could still be alive right now. We had Davion's life through 60. It didn't tell us that he crashed. It should have told us, but like, even if it did told us and you were going 35, someone could have came and did something, because all of our friends were out in Colorado. It was a 2-hour time difference. They were all awake, so they would have gotten the notification and everything and been able to get a hold of one of us or something. Like, I just don't understand why she was going that fast. Or like, but it's just wild to me that she's still reckless and just posting on her Instagram and stuff like that after all of this, after nothing happened. And I still haven't seen her post anything about Davion even. She posted one picture, but it was bomb in the picture with her and Davion. She hasn't posted Davion's GoFundMe. She didn't post, like, she hasn't said anything about Davion at all, which is just, like, crazy to me. Like, she's just completely, like, ignorant to the fact that she not only did that to Dom, the person that was literally taking care of her, but our friend Davion, who was also going through stuff.
Totally innocent, too. I mean, he was a third party. He had nothing to do with the two of them.
Let me answer this. Was she depressed when you guys were dating? I didn't mean you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, I figured she was, because she would just say stuff like, I can't get high anymore, and like I'm not getting it. Like, I keep on just smoking, and I can't get any high.
Like, she developed a tolerance to it?
Yeah. She's saying, like, she can't feel any better from it, basically. And that, like, I can't imagine, like,
did her parents know she smoked weed?
Yeah, her parents definitely knew she smoked weed.
How do you know that?
Because sometimes we would smoke in her backyard.
I didn't care.
Yeah, I mean, they cared, though. They just spoiled her, so it's like, they just kind of let her do whatever. Like obviously, at the time, she should not have been really just doing whatever she wanted. That's kind of why. Always did what she wanted. She talks to everyone how she wanted. Like, we were swimming over at the falls in Olmsted Falls, and you're not supposed to be swimming over there. And cops came, and she was just sitting there being disrespectful the whole time, just on her phone. And we're like, Kenzie, bro, like, we're not supposed to even be swimming here. Why are you being disrespectful to them? Like, do you want to get us a ticket? Like, what is wrong with you? Why are you just always like this? Like, even everybody is going to see you. That's not the way you're supposed to be. And like, the first time when she came over my house, she was cursing in front of my parents, which made my parents like not really like her and stuff like that.
Really? So,
like, yeah, I mean, she wasn't like being like rude to them or nothing, but she was just like being careless around my little brother and my parents, like just saying shit and shit like that, like damn and like fuck, like, because she just like just spoiled and does whatever we want. That's what she's used to. So she's never really listened to nobody. She's never.
Did you ever know her parents to discipline her, ground her, anything?
They definitely didn't. They never disciplined her in any way. They spoiled her for sure. I liked her parents, though. Her parents are really nice, obviously. Like, they obviously they wanted to take care of her and just treat her like a princess, but you know, you can't always do that.
Right. Did you ever know her to use any drugs besides marijuana?
I mean, I've heard that she used coke at parties and stuff like that. That's it. Or tripped.
This is a Crime Circus presentation.
I knew that Dom didn't like her tripping because she has epilepsy or she can have seizures or something like that. So Dom didn't really ever want her tripping. I know that.
So I'm sure you've heard, it's at this point it's public record, but you know, there were some shrooms found.
Yeah.
It's in the police report.
Yeah.
That's been released.
I mean, I don't know what happened that night. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Davion had texted me that day. Said, do you want to take acid with me, Joey, Kenzie, and Dom tonight? And I just said, hit me up later, bro. I was like, I'm busy right now. And that was the last time I even texted Davion. I'm assuming they didn't take acid because people were saying they had shrooms. So that kind of like steered me away from all that stuff. Like, I don't even think I can touch that stuff again now because of that, because like, I don't know, like, I don't want to
just remind you,
because like, if they weren't, like, maybe, like, I don't know if Kenzie was tripping or not, but like, if she was, like, that could have maybe even been avoided too, or like, I just don't understand why she was, like, they let her get that fast. I don't know if Avion and Dom were tripping and that's why they couldn't prevent the crash or something like that. So, like, that's just, like, why I don't, like, I just smoke weed now. That's it.
So you think an argument happened in the car?
I mean, yeah.
I mean, you know all of them.
From Dom and Kenzie's relationship, like, they were always arguing. That's just how they were. And like, me and Joey always talked about it. We're like, bro, Dom has so much going for himself. Like, why does he stick with Kenzie? Like, he can do so much better. Like, so Dom is an intelligent person.
Explain something to me real quick, though. They get into an argument, okay? Why drive the car into the building?
That's why I feel like she was trying to kill herself, and she wasn't really necessarily trying to kill them. I feel like she was trying to kill herself, and she just had no regard for Davion because of just how she is. Like, that's just what I...
Are your friend group, or maybe some high school kid, I mean, we've spoken to many, but those who think this is the consensus that she tried...
I think the consensus she did it on purpose. I don't think people know why.
That's what people think?
Yeah, people really? Think that she crashed out, like, at least in our friend group, kind of, like, we don't really know exactly what happened, because we don't know, like, if she tried to swerve or anything like that, but, like, when it first happened, that's definitely what everyone thought was she was trying to do it on purpose. Like, that was the first thing that went into everyone's heads, is, like, she had to have been trying to, she did that, because why you just do that? Like, it's not like it was completely dark, there was that sign. The front, like, you saw that sign.
You guys knew more before we even knew. I mean, before we even had any idea about the speed and any of that, you know.
I was hurt.
A bunch of people who had access to Life 360.
I mean, there was like...
Sent us screenshots saying, look how fast they went. We had no idea at the time.
Yeah, there was probably like 14 people in our Life 360 because we're all super close. So it was probably...
They all saw that speed, that progress.
We didn't even doubt that they crashed because of the Life 360, though. Like, we should have found out, but the crash detection only works if the drive was over a mile long and if their phone has more than 20% and they don't have low power mode on. And when they crash, it's supposed to call everybody's phone, like everyone that's in the Life 360.
Kidding. Oh, no.
It's supposed to also send out an emergency dispatch because we pay for the premium. Our little group, we all just pay $2 a month. We got nothing, which means that it was either she got over there too quickly because it was too short of a drive for it to have to, like, you know, register a crash, or Davion's phone was in low power mode. So that's just what it didn't alert us, though. It was supposed to, but I was told that his heart tore instantly, so it didn't matter anyways. Like, whether it did tell us that they crashed or not, I was told that Davion died on impact. So I ended up finding out when I was at Cedar Point the next day, and my friend Joey called me, and he was like, yo, and I was like, I'm busy right now. He's like, it's kind of important. He's like, Davion's sister's friend just texted me and said Davion died in a car accident this morning. I'm like, Davion's sister's friend? I'm like, what? I'm like, I didn't really believe it at first, because, like, that's a weird chain of lines. I was just trying to call people. I tried calling Davion, then I tried calling Dom, and both of their phones went to voicemail, and then I called Kyle, which was like Dom's best friend, and then he told me
Kyle Smith.
Yeah, and then he told me that they crashed.
So let me ask you this: we received a tip from somebody who's been very reliable that you were threatened by Mackenzie's mom not talking to the police.
No, I haven't been threatened by Mackenzie's mom.
Were you threatened by anyone? Anyone tell you don't talk to the cops?
No.
Any type of, like, witness intimidation?
Did she ever ask you? Maybe not threaten you, but say...
What I've told people is I don't want to talk to the police because I...
Really?
Yeah. Like, Kenzie's mom is super nice. When I've known her, when I've been to her house, like, I feel like Kenzie's mom's a good person. And also her dad. Her dad was more of an authoritative figure. Like, her dad would try to punish her, but... she was still spoiled, so, like, you know, her dad didn't really want her smoking weed and stuff like that. I know when she did smoke weed, her dad wouldn't let her vape. I know that.
So since the crash, did you see her out and about? I know there
I've tried to avoid anywhere she would be because of everything that she's been saying to everyone, that I'm trying to hurt her and stuff like that. So I just don't want to get more stuff put out for no reason. So, like, I've only been to the graveyard one time because I know that she goes there a lot. And I just didn't want to run into her. So I only went to this bad spot one time, and then I just didn't go there.
Did she get to the graveyard? Did she drive?
Like, her friends would pick her up, I'm pretty sure. Like, random friends would pick her up and take her, and she would just sit there in the wheelchair, I guess.
Hmm.
And, like, then other people would be sending pictures to me of her posting on private stories of her at parties and stuff like that. Like, I know that she's been to two concerts since my stepsister seen her at the Playboi Carti concert.
Do you have any of those pictures?
No, I don't. I got a new phone since, because that's why I couldn't call you guys back, was because my mic was broke on my phone. So,
last thing I have here, Landon Turner.
It was weird with him. Like, I was asking him, like, what happened, bro? I'm like, you have to, like, because I was looking bad about everything. I'm like, you were with them last, like, I feel like it could have went different because I was supposed to be with them that night, technically, but I did trip with them. And then I was at Joey's house that night, too, and Davion was supposed to stay the night at Joey's. But his mom didn't let him, so I had to leave Joey's house, and Davion just ended up staying with Dom and Kenzie. And then I was talking to Bubba, and he was sitting there telling everyone. He was like, I was about to ask Davion to just stay the night with me. I don't know why I didn't. Like, stuff like that. And Bubba lived with, Davion lived with Bubba, which is Landon. And so it was just, like, weird to me when he wouldn't tell people, like, really what happened that night. His stories were... At first, he was, like, against Kenzie, but the girl that he's dating, Rosie, is, like, one of Kenzie's, like, better friends. I wouldn't say best friend because I don't really know, like, her friend group or nothing like that. But I know, like, Rosie was with her a lot in at Dom's house. So I feel like he started trying to get Kenzie after the first day because his girlfriend told him. And then his stories just kind of started switching up, and then he started acting weird about it. I'm like, were they arguing when they left, bro? I was like... And then he was telling me at first that they were arguing when they left. Like, there was an argument or there was a dispute. But then the next day, he completely changed the story. And he was just saying that Davion and Dom were asleep. And then they woke up and Kenzie didn't go to sleep at all. She was, like, drawing or something like that. She was just coloring in coloring books. And then they left the house. And then...
And he told you this?
That's what he told everybody.
So he told everybody?
We were all at, like, everyone was at the memorial for, like, a week straight or so. So, like, that's kind of, like,
where... So then his tune changed?
Yeah, it definitely...
His story changed.
And I would always ask him, I'm like, I feel like you know more to this, look, kind of. I'm like, because you were there at Paul's house, like... And then he pulled me to the side, and he's like, I didn't really know who to trust, and just like that, I didn't know who to tell. Because Kyle had asked him first, like, what really happened, and he lied to Kyle at first about something. I'm like, you need to go tell Kyle the truth. Like, that was Dom's best friend. I was like, Kyle deserves to know. I was like, whatever you told him, I'm like, you need to go and correct. And, like, I guess he went and talked to Kyle. I don't really know necessarily if they talked about anything.
So, but his first story, immediately after the crash, was that there was an argument?
Yeah, I was being told that there was a dispute and that... Like, things were a little weird when they left. And he also, like, I know Dom texted everyone that night that he loved them. He texted Kyle, I love you. He texted Angelo, I love you. And he also texted his dad, I love you, I'm pretty sure. And he also might have texted Blair, his other good friend, which is just, you know, kind of out of the ordinary, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Davion also texted his dad, I love you, that night. And he told Bubba, I love you, before he left Bubba, and then he had told Bubba.
Hmm. So, do you think Mackenzie has it in her to drive a car into a wall? I mean, if you guys speculate that she did it on purpose, do you think she has it in her?
I feel like if she thinks that she can just drive the car into the wall and not feel nothing, you know, like 100 to the wall, I feel like the only reason she survived is because of how small she is. Like, I feel like she got insanely... lucky, but at the same time, not lucky to have survived that, because it's like she killed two people. That was what she was trying to do, but it's like, I feel like that's what she was trying to do, was crash the car into the wall.
There was something I was going to ask. Do you, you knew Dom and you knew Davion pretty well. Did they ever talk about her?
No, never.
So you don't see a scenario in which the three of them make like a pact.
That's why it was all weird that they all said love you, but no, definitely no. Not. Davion did that. Davion had gotten kicked out, and then he had just went back to his family's house, and the only reason he didn't go on vacation with his family was though he could stay home at work because he just got a new job.
Okay, so you don't. So
Davion was over my house when he was kicked out like every single day after school.
So they had a lot going for him.
Did Joey tell you anything about his relationship with Mackenzie?
I mean, like, not like since it's happened, but like before it, and like when we were all friends and like things were normal. Like, yeah, I mean, we all just agree that like there's no reason. He has her blocked on Snapchat. Like, he's had her blocked even way before this incident just because he says that she's annoying and doesn't want to deal with her and have to, like, you know what I'm saying? He just doesn't want communication with her. Like, so he just had her blocked on everything. But I really thought Davion would have never believed that at all. And Dom had way more going for him. So
right.
I don't think Dom would
have. We got that.
Yeah.
Much from everybody. All right. Well, hey, man. I'm going to let the prosecutor know that you came down and talked to us. So, you know, there will no... There will not be a subpoena or a warrant or anything like that. So you're all set. You confirmed pretty much everything that we knew. I appreciate your time. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
But Mackenzie's mom was trying to be not true.
Okay.
It's like a little weird, but they might have gotten that from me. Some people that I don't want to talk to you about because I'm scared of Mackenzie.
Initially, the medical examiner had ruled Dom and Davian's death caused by, well, I'm just going to read this from the court documents as well, multiple blunt force injuries consistent with an automobile crash. Flanagan's lethal injuries were hit to his trunk and abdomen. Russo's lethal injuries were to his head. Toxicology testing showed that Flanagan and Russo both had used marijuana before their deaths. The manner of these deaths was initially classified as an accident, based on a report from the Strongsville Police Department indicating that the death was being investigated as a traffic accident. In March 2023, the prosecution submitted additional evidence to the medical examiner's office and requested a reconsideration of the manner of death for the victims. The additional evidence consisted of transcripts from cell phones, still photographs, video images, and interviews with various witnesses. Based on that additional information, Dr. Fellow amended the autopsy report for the victims, changing the cause of death from an accident to homicide. The report indicated that the investigation revealed the driver's intention of inflicting self-harm and harm onto the passengers in her vehicle. Now, proving that Mackenzie had crashed her car on purpose in order to kill Dominic and Davion would not be easy. But the defense must have decided that she would have come off as super unlikable, enough to forego a jury trial and go with a judge only or like a bench trial. And after examining all the evidence of the TikToks, the phone videos, the surveillance footage, Judge Nancy Russo, who is not connected in any way to Dominic, found her guilty of 4 counts of felonious assault, 2 of aggravated vehicular homicide, 1 of drug possession, and 1 of possession criminal tools, in addition to 4 counts of murder. I believe the criminal tools and the drug possession, there was some mushrooms and some other drug paraphernalia that was found in the vehicle after the crash. And the judge Nancy Russo said of her, her actions were controlled, methodical, deliberate, intentional, and purposeful. This was not reckless driving. This was murder. The video clearly shows the purpose and intent of the defendant. She chose a path of death and destruction that day. She had a mission and she executed it with precision. The mission was death. Now, Mackenzie did a lot of sobbing, of course, during this, looking demure in her pink mock turtleneck and her hair pulled back in this simple ponytail. And at the sentencing hearing, she said through her tears, "The families of Dominic and Davy and I am so deeply sorry. I hope one day you can see I would never let this happen or do it on purpose. I wish I could remember what happened. We were all friends and Dominic was my soulmate. I wish I could take all of your pain away into my family. Thank you for the support and all the love you guys give. I love you all so much." And the families of Dominic and Davian gave really heartfelt victim impact statements speaking about like their loss and just the carelessness and reckless behavior of Mackenzie and how selfish she had been and how remorseless. But her mom wanted to make a statement as well.
Can you start with your name?
My name is Natalie Shirilla. I just want to say, am I allowed to address them at all?
Sure.
I just want to say to the families
that I'm broken, sad, and lost, and my heart hurts for everyone, okay? Davion was her new friend, and Dom was the love of her life, and he was part of our family, okay? I'm just so sorry that this happened, and we're heartbroken,
okay? And then, Your Honor, this was a terrible, tragic, nightmare accident to have happened that she has no memory of, and she will never emotionally or physically recover from it. She almost died, too. And we're asking that you please not run the sentences consecutive. He was family, and we all loved each other. That morning of the accident, she called. I got a phone call that there was a car accident. Okay, so we went to the hospital, and I didn't even know who was in the car. The names had not been confirmed yet. And I'm going to cry because I missed Dom so much. We loved him so much. So I called Dom, like, over and over again, praying that he was going to answer the phone, and he didn't answer the phone. So that I tried to call his mom, and she didn't answer the phone either. And I still didn't know who was in the car. I didn't even know if she was alive. I didn't know what was happening. So then we were in the waiting room. And then his mom ended up, she did call me. So I answered the phone, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, I don't even know who was in the car. Like, what's happening? Was that Dom? And she said, what do you mean? My son is dead. And I was like, I'm so sorry. And then she said something like, and now I have to wait until your kid's out of the hospital. And then I didn't hear the rest. We loved him so much, and I hung up the phone. I did not talk about social media. I didn't even know what was going on yet, okay? So then, that was it. So in the hospital, that Vitality post, I commented on that because somebody had called her a murderer, okay? And she's not a murderer, so she didn't even have her phone at that point because the police had still had it, okay? So I jumped on. And I was like, you know, she's not a murderer. She's more sad than hurt than most of these people commenting. She's been trying to get in touch with you. I mean, at that point, it was just an accident. So I commented on her behalf, not because of the modeling opportunity. Who cares about that? I don't want them to refer to her as a murderer, okay? And I don't even know how that commented got on the phone because the police still had her device and she could not access her phone or social media. That's why I did it. And I had called them asking if they could shut down social media because people were calling her a murderer and making death threats and organizing groups to, you know, take her out when she got out of the hospital and stuff. So I didn't even want her phone. I don't care about her phone. I don't care about social media. I just wanted them to stop calling her a murderer so that when she did come to and she did come out of surgery, multiple surgeries, that she wouldn't see all these people calling her a murderer because she would never, ever, ever murder the love of her life, okay? Halloween, for 3 months after the accident, she would only wear his clothes. She would only eat the snacks he ate. She would only listen to the music he wrote, okay? She was laying in bed for 3 months crying. There was a shrine of him next to her with photos and things that he liked, and this flower that lights up that he got her because he wanted it to be fresh and alive forever. It's like a little Beauty and the Beast flower. Okay, she's got this shrine of him next to her. So she was crying for 3 months. So her friends asked if she wanted to go out trick-or-treating or Halloween, and it was at OU. And she didn't even want to go. She said, I don't know, should I go? She couldn't even walk yet, barely. So I told her, I said, baby, please go. It's Halloween. You've been laying for 3 months crying, only listening to his music. Please go have just a moment of fun. A moment of fun. So we told her to go. My husband drove her. I brought her back home. She just needed a second of fun from losing her whole world. Her whole world. So that was us. We told her to go. And that concert, she went to with Dom's cousin, Abby. They picked her up. They brought her there. That was Dom, Mackenzie and Dom and Abby all decided to go to this concert together while they were in the hospital. That was for Dom. Everything she did after the accident was either in honor of him, to be close to him, or just to be by him any way that she can. She's, like, devastated and tragic. He was the air that she breathes, okay? And they went with his cousin. We spent all kinds of time with him after the accident. What was the other thing?
I'm hearing an awful lot about your daughter. I'm not hearing very much about the two dead people.
Dominic, okay, I'm asking you for leniency because this was a tragic accident that she does not remember. And Davion, he's a new friend. I'm so sorry.
What does that mean? His life is worthless?
No. No. Okay. God, no, not at all. They all loved each other. They all spent every day together. You know what I mean? I don't know too much.
And isn't that
for
part
him.
Of the problem, Mrs. Shirley?
Sorry?
Isn't that part of the problem that they all trusted each other? Isn't that part of...
It's not a problem at all. It was
it's
wonderful.
It's a problem how they all ended up in the car together and two of them ended up dead.
I understand. Right. I understand what it looks like. I'm saying that it was a tragic accident. She would never...
Well, we're going to have to disagree on that.
I understand.
Right. And I respect your position, but you disagree with me.
I understand. But anyway, that's it. I just wanted to address those. We told her to go to those things, and then she did go with Dom's family. So look at that. Don't look at it with the... Look on that with different eyes if you can, please.
This is that those things are not relevant.
Not at all. Not at all. No. Not at all. But she's a good. If you would have a moment, all you would need is 5 minutes of a conversation to have with her to learn who she is. Just that you would just need 5 minutes to learn who she is and what she's capable of not doing and doing, and you would see for yourself.
Thank
That's
you.
All. I'm so sorry, guys.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
I love you.
I find her kind of gross. Like, I don't, I mean, I know I get it. I, you don't want your kid to go to prison forever for like a really a stupid mistake, but I don't know. I just don't like her. Like she just gives me bad vibes. Jamie Flanagan, David's mom, said of Mackenzie, "We have a strong faith and Davian did as well. We are working on forgiveness, but the complete lack of empathy or regard for his life is just shocking. We don't want vengeance. But it's also very difficult to forgive someone in denial." His dad, Scott, added, "Just admit what you did and apologize for what you did, then start to change. We are people of faith. We're hoping that Mackenzie has a change of heart and becomes a better person. But the one we've seen until this point is self-centered, selfish, and narcissistic." And then in August of 2023, Mackenzie received 2 concurrent 15-year to life sentences. And currently, she's residing at the Ohio Reformatory for Women. Her expected parole date is set for 2037. Now, she did appeal that sentence, and I'm just going to read that part to you here as... "As detailed above, the evidence established that Shirilla pressed the accelerator pedal to 100% acceleration, causing the vehicle to reach approximately 100 miles per hour before crashing into a brick wall, killing Russo and Flanagan. Whether there was probable cause to commit murder turned essentially on whether there was credible evidence that Shirilla purposely caused the crash. There was. Shirilla was examined by medical professionals after the incident, and there was no medical evidence that she suffered any adverse medical event that caused the crash. The vehicle was examined by an expert who determined that there was no evidence that a mechanical failure caused the crash either. The state also presented credible evidence of a potential motive Shirilla may have had for causing the crash. Investigators testified that Russo's brother told him that Russo was considering ending the relationship. Russo's mother told them about the incident on the highway in which Russo said Shirilla tried to crash the car. While there was evidence suggesting that Shirilla communicated that Russo was at fault for that highway incident, and while the state could not present evidence establishing that Shirilla was angry at Russo or otherwise upset immediately before the crash, the state only needed to establish probable cause at this stage of the proceedings. After reviewing the evidence presented at the hearing, we conclude that the state did establish probable cause, and therefore there was no error when the juvenile court ordered the case transferred to the General Division of the Common Pleas Court for prosecution. And it was denied. Now, I should go back and mention, I said earlier that after the crash that she was in a wheelchair for a while. She was in a wheelchair for a while, but she doesn't remain in a wheelchair. She's made a full recovery from her, which is really quite remarkable considering how bad the accident really was. Jamie and Scott Flanagan, along with his sisters, started a GoFundMe page telling the media that Davian would really enjoy this being his legacy, a chance to help others. A lot of time in the Barber College, it's kids from disadvantaged situations. Not always, but they usually need financial assistance to be able to go and follow their dreams. To be able to help someone, Davian said that we were his second chance. So to be able to give someone else the chance to pursue their dreams, he would love that. The GoFundMe page reads in part, "In the midst of this devastating tragedy, our family would like to attempt to create something good and hopeful. We would like our son Davian to be remembered and to be honored in a way that somehow contributes to joy and goodness in this world. We hope to memorialize Davian's life in a way that gives back and will carry on the love and kindness that he himself carried on in his beautiful heart. The love that he wanted so badly for himself that he gave to the world around him. The proceeds from this fundraiser will be used to create a memorial scholarship fund to help future barbers attend and achieve their dream, a dream shared by our son. The barber school program can be quite expensive. The $16,000 tuition may be financially out of reach for many young adults that could flourish if given the opportunity. Our hope is to collect enough funding to provide an annual full tuition scholarship for the barber program at Allstate Hairstyling and Barber College located in Cleveland, Ohio." Davian had such a generous and kind soul. He loved helping others, went out of his way to show others that they were valued and worthy. Davian would have loved the idea of giving back to the community in his name through his scholarship fund. The scholarship fund would help Davian live on forever in our hearts and memories while also helping others achieve their goals and dreams. And you can find more information at GoFundMe.com, Davian Flanagan. I will try to put a link on Instagram and down below in the show notes for you for that. Davian just sounds like he was just an amazing kid, like just was really going to go places in life, and Dominic as well. And Mackenzie, she just, I don't know, entitled brat. Just so cold, like so cold. To me, it's really strange that, how there's a lot of people, well, not a lot, thankfully not a lot, but you know, the like sort of the murder suicide thing where they like take out their, it's usually their spouse or kids or something, and take them out and then take themselves out. This kind of has that feel a little bit, but she also just seems like super delusional, like that she's like, oh, I'm just gonna crash. I'm just mad and I'm just gonna crash the car. And like, I just don't think she was thinking at all what that really meant. Like, she's super, like, it's an immaturity. Like, it's an inability to see that, like, there are long-term consequences of that. And all her talking about crying and stuff like that about, I don't remember any of it. She totally remembers it. And she just, it's just stupid. I don't know. This case was just really interesting to me that she's just a piece of work. And honestly, with the level of or lack of empathy that she shows, and just she's not getting it. She just doesn't have any insight. I don't know that she ever will. A prison is probably where she needs to stay for a very, very long time, because even when she gets out, I think she's going to be one of those people that just, it's not my fault. It's always somebody else's fault, or, you know, she just feels entitled to so many things. Anyways, that was the murder of Dominic Russo and Davian Flanagan. I am going to be back again next week with another case. I am so happy to be back. I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I hope that you're going to enjoy the next one and all of every episode that I put out from here on out, as much as you've enjoyed them up till now, which I really appreciate. All of you for listening, for watching, wherever you listen, wherever you watch. And if you want to do your rate, review, subscribe, that would be most appreciated. I still have the exclusive episodes that are ad-free that you can sign up for on Apple. You can also go right directly to Red Circle, which is the podcast hosting thing, whatever it's called, platform. You can go there directly and sign up for it as well. It's like, you can do $1 a week, $5 a month. I think it's $50 for a year. I mean, you can literally, I don't mind if you want to just sign up for a week, download a bunch of stuff, and then just cancel it. You can cancel at any time. Anyways, I will see you again back here next week. Thanks.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.